Hello and welcome to another Wellness Wednesdays conversation. These happen the first and third of the month at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and all the adjacent time zones. I also share recordings of past conversations on my blog at jamiegold.net. So if you have to leave partway through, you can listen to the full thing there next Wednesday. I'm your host, Jamie Gold, a wellness design consultant and author of the award-winning book, Wellness by Design. I'm very glad you folks are here. If you'd like to share a comment or ask a question, you can essentially hit the little quote button there at the bottom and then ask your question. And if you see that there's a conversation that you think one of the folks you know who participates in Clubhouse would like to join, then you can invite them to do so. I'm super, super excited to share that my guest moderators today are Jill Notini, Vice President and Industry Spokesperson for the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers, Deborah Young, a Philadelphia area occupational therapist specializing in inclusive design and a certified specialist in environmental modifications, as well as Molly McCabe, a kitchen designer, general contract, and industry educator on Bainbridge Island, which I believe is in the Seattle area. Is that correct, Molly?
It is. 10 nautical miles due west.
Awesome. And I am also excited to be talking today about the latest appliance trends and ideas and how they can help you have a healthier home. So my guest contributed to a Forbes.com article, and you'll see the link at the top of your screen for that. You can also go to my Twitter feed or Instagram feed through my profile and read it later if you like. So let's get going, and we're going to start with Jill.
So hi, Jamie. Sorry, I jumped in here at the last second, and I apologize for that, but I'm so excited to be joining you, and hello to Molly and Deborah as well.
Oh, all good, and very glad to have you back. So you know that just appliances are in high demand right now, and there's still supply chain issues. Are there any sense of when these will ease or fully resolve?
Sure. So I think that the appliance industry is certainly facing, a lot of the same supply chain and delay issues that we're seeing across other industries like furniture and construction supplies. And really, these are all things that, started with the pandemic. And we know that the pandemic is continuing, and it certainly has evolved, and it's had its, its peaks and its valleys, and it's kind of, had run in different cycles, but.
Oh yeah. And by no means am I singling out the appliance industry, except the one distinguishing thing though, is that people will change appliances even without needing the other building materials that go with a remodel or new construction. Like, I just got myself a new dishwasher. I didn't redo my kitchen. I just got tired of the noisy one that made me clean about one out of every four pieces. So.
Sure. Well, and that's sort of what's happening here is that, a lot, people need, appliances, when they break, you can't really wait to replace them. So if the model is not available that you needed, people are having to look at, different models. If they are still very loyal to a particular brand, they might be able to select another model. Or if they're looking at a certain feature set, they may have to look for another brand. And so there are appliances out there. I've heard very mixed stories, from people having appliances that have been in stock and they've been able to deliver them within a few days to, having to wait months. So it really does depend. I would say that you're going to have to maybe be flexible, or you're going to have to search around if your appliances are maybe on their way out, if they're starting to make noises, or maybe, you're having, performance or any kind of issues and your appliance is at the end of its sort of average life span, then it may be worth, considering to buy early so that you can put in your order and get exactly what you need.
Yeah, and I think designers are doing that when they're specifying a suite of appliances. Would that be accurate, Molly?
Yes.
And then you're more brand specific.
I think it's really across the board, though.
Yeah. Because I know for me, when I was looking for one dishwasher, I didn't have a preferred brand. I knew I wanted something quiet with a third rack, stainless interior, and a certain style of handle that would coordinate with my kitchen. But other than that, you know, when I was doing a lot of hands-on design, I wanted all the appliances, you know, from one manufacturer very often.
Right. And so I think that the story has changed a little bit too, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it might continue to change. You know, we're hearing of, you know, what's happening with, you know, again in China with, you know, placing very strict controls and isolations and lockdowns. And that's happening, you know, even in major centers. So it could be a component. It could be, you know, addition. It could be, you know, COVID issues. It could be, you know, what's happening with microchips. And, you know, so there's a lot of different things that are going on and, you know, shipping delays. It's really kind of, you know, it's been the perfect storm, if I can say that, you know, for delays. So, you know, it's tough to be patient. You know, when your appliances break, you generally cannot wait to replace them. But we're doing the best that we can, and we are pushing for, you know, the government to help where they can on certain issues. So, you know, we're not staying quiet about it. That's for sure.
No, it's challenging. Deborah, you help people who are dealing with health issues and disabilities and, you know, other conditions related to age. And which challenges make using home appliances the hardest, and which ones do you think, which conditions are you seeing more of?
Jamie, that's a great question. You know, you may have a client with a physical injury. You may have a client with a hearing impairment or a visual impairment, or you may have a client that is productively aging. And to me, product design should meet the needs of you, me, and all of these clients. As an occupational therapist, the specific illness, injury, or disability is important to consider, and how the person is impacted functionally is also very important. And so in considering what appliances might be harder to use, the more areas of impact to a person's function, the less potential ease that person may have when using a product or an appliance. So I'm thinking, you know, from a physical perspective, from a sensory perspective, from a cognitive perspective, and large appliance design that incorporates considerations for usability by a wide range of age and ability levels is really a win-win for the consumer and the manufacturer. Aging, for sure, we don't like to know it, but all of those areas are impacted just by aging. So being able to have an approach that is flexible in the design, that would meet a person's current and potentially future changing needs from an aging perspective, helps provide that layer of potential ergonomic safety and convenience to all users. And really, that's a universal design approach. And considering incorporating features into the design of large appliances that allow for appliances that are aesthetically pleasing and provide that layer of convenience while also meeting the needs of that wide spectrum of consumers really is critical.
And there are so many, it is such a broad spectrum, but in terms of what might make it hardest for someone to remain independent in their home and use their appliances, would it be balance issues? Would it be hearing or vision or arthritis where your hands don't work as well necessarily? And what do you...
All of those are absolutely to be considered. From the standpoint of being able to stay in one's home, I would go right to the safety aspects of that. So things like being able to know if the food in your refrigerator is expired and accidentally eating something that might not be good for you and could cause illness. I would say being able to, from an appliance perspective, being able to use the range safely or the oven safely because we know that cooking fires are unfortunately the highest reason for fires in one's home. So from the standpoint of all of those areas absolutely are important. Balance is important because reaching down and into a dishwasher to reach for something that you know is down there but can't quite see what it is, that could be a false risk too. But anything that could relate to potential safety to stay in the home would be where I would say the most important, it is most important and paramount at the end of the day, and how design of appliances and spaces can help to alleviate that.
And you mentioned, you know, reaching down to get something on the bottom shelf of a dishwasher. It could also be lifting something out of the oven cavity on a range, or trying to reach the controls on a stacked dryer.
Yes, or even reach controls that might be in a spot that might not be as easy to access on the range, well as if they're in the back of the range, and even sometimes on the side they can reach across a flame. So things like that, all of those would be, are sort of the red flags and where design can play a huge role in making people safer in their home.
No, I know. And I personally really dislike over-the-range microwaves over a gas cooktop.
Yes, me too. As a person who's barely 5'3", it's very difficult. And I have had to pull out things that at a friend's house, very hot items from that high level, and have actually burnt myself and dropped things on the floor. So even as a short person, it's hard for me, but someone who might have balance issues, it's even scarier. Yeah, and not being able to visualize what you're pulling out.
Plus the fact that if you have loose clothing, you can get, catch on fire.
Absolutely.
These are all things to think about. Now, Molly, you work with clients with different ability levels. What large appliance trends are you seeing that support user wellness and safety?
There's a variety of things, but before I go on to that, I want to touch on something that is kind of a secondary thing to what Deborah was talking about, and that is when clients can't use their appliances, their nutritional life diminishes, and therefore their health diminishes, and their ability to stay in the home that they are currently in also diminishes. So there's a variety of, safety is definitely the number one, but good nutrition is also impacted by one's inability to use their current suite of appliances.
That's such an excellent point.
Thank you. So the number one that comes to mind to me is the steam oven because of its ability to retain nutrient value, food integrity in terms of color and texture. You think of a steam oven, it's kind of like a sauna. It cooks from the inside. It warms you up from it down to the core. And it's a very efficient way of cooking. I've been using steam cooking for the last 14 years. And I personally couldn't live without it. I think induction cooktops are another one because there isn't an open flame. My son, we have two burners of an induction in our kitchen. We have two burners of propane, and we have a electric grill griddle. My son was making scrambled eggs on the gas cooktop one day, and he says, "What's that smell?" And I turned around and looked at him, and he was on his sweatshirt had caught fire because it was the days of those baggy sweatshirts.
Oh, my goodness.
Please, proceed to the sink and extinguish yourself, sweetheart. if you're correlating safety, I think like Deborah said earlier, being able to see things. So with refrigeration, good interior lighting is absolutely necessary so that food doesn't spoil. And if it does, that the consumer can identify it as being spoiled because of the quality of the lighting in the refrigeration.
That is important. That visual element of being able to, have the light where you can just read the label. Sometimes those are just tough.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these are all such great points. And it's, there almost needs to be an education element because I think as Deborah noted earlier, unless you're starting to feel a little older, you're not necessarily thinking about, what you may need in the future. So if someone is redoing a kitchen, you know, in their dream home, in their, you know, 30s or early 40s or late 40s, they may have a different, you know, set of needs than someone in their, you know, 60s, 70s or 80s. But it's certainly worth, you know, going through that exercise to say, you know, you might really love this now, but, you know, what might work, you know, 10 or 20 years from now, or when you have children, you know, running around in the kitchen that want to be, you know, more self-sufficient, or, you know, if you have, you know, when you're older, you know, maybe, you know, you have to worry about, you know, reaching up, mobility issues, or reaching across, you know, maybe you want to have front controls on your range. Maybe you want to do a microwave, you know, drawer instead of, you know, a microwave above the range. So I think there are configurations mm-hmm. that would meet some of these challenges and features and configurations. But, you know, it's also sort of incumbent upon, you know, everyone, retail and designers and everyone, just to have, you know, to kind of have a little education and a level of awareness around what you might need now is might be a little different than in the future.
That's true. And, you know, Deborah's brought in when somebody already has a condition or an injury. And when Molly's talking to clients, she's probably, you know, asking them how long they want to stay in the home and what, you know, issues they're dealing with. What I found, because I went and I got that certified aging in place specialist designation, and I found out even in Florida, which has the second highest population of older people in the country, nobody likes the A word. So nobody wants to think about aging. But I would put it, I now put it into the context of sports and hobbies. So what would happen if you had a skiing injury? What happens after you are completely sore after, you know, 18 holes or whatever it is that they're involved with? What would make it easier for you to still, you know, cook, still do your laundry, still do, you know, all the other things in your house that you want to do and need to do?
Just Jamie, I'd like to add a couple other ideas.
Sure.
But before I do, Jill, just so you know, pickleball was invented on Bainbridge Island. Okay, so
what was invented on Bainbridge Island?
Pickleball.
Oh, pickleball. Okay.
Yeah. That's all of our tennis courts have been converted to pickleball courts in my neighborhood. So it's found the East Coast, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay, so the two other items I want to bring up are the side-hinged oven. Mm-hmm. This makes accessing an oven ultimately better for more petite people as well as people in wheelchairs because the door is out of the way entirely.
Right. It's not opening into your lap.
Right. And then as consumers have become more conscious of the benefits of ventilation, having the remote controls for the ventilator is fantastic. So again, if somebody's has mobility issues, they can't reach up, they're in a wheelchair, it can still activate their exhaust system with a remote.
You know, I happen to love the systems, and I've been seeing more of them every year, that are sensor vent fans, that they will sync to what's happening on the cooktop and adjust to the right performance level. And so far, before this year, they were all brand specific. So SKS, you know, would work with SKS cooktop, and Bosch would work with Bosch cooktop. Brone Newtone has just come out with one that's brand agnostic. And I don't think it's hit the market yet, but you'll be able to specify this system that will work with any cooktop. So you don't even have to think, oh, I forgot to turn the vent hood on, or what level should I put it at? It's going to do the smart work for you. And I think that's a huge, huge leap forward. It's technology that really does help.
Agreed.
Jill, are you seeing a lot of those, and I don't know how closely you follow that type of trend, but just where does that fit into the overall wellness-enhancing cooking appliance and features trends?
Well, I think generally, I think indoor air quality is a huge trend. So when you're talking about integration of a ventilation hood with a cooktop, or, you know, having interoperability between brands. I think that's sort of one step forward for a category that, you know, is just absolutely top of mind for consumers for a number of reasons. And when I, you know, when I say indoor air quality, it's both with, you know, in the kitchen and, you know, maybe switching on a vent hood. It could mean in the bathroom, turning on your ventilation, you know, fan, even if you don't have a vent hood in the kitchen. It could mean just anything you can do to increase, you know, ventilation, circulation, or filtration. So whether it's opening a window to get fresh air, or whether it's using a portable air cleaner, you know, or now in some cases, we're actually seeing that, seeing some new products, new ventilation hoods that are building in, you know, filters, HEPA filters even, and different, you know, indoor air quality enhancing filters. So I think, you know, that's definitely a category that, you know, through cooking, through tightness of homes, you know, through wildfires, frankly, is, and, you know, and of course the pandemic, those are all factors relating to, you know, I think this category having a lot of interest and all of a sudden, you know, we're all thinking about indoor air quality and, you know, how's the indoor air, how's PM2.5? It's like we speak with an entirely new vocabulary now.
And I believe I saw something cross my desk from your association about rating air purifiers or people should evaluate. Can you say something quickly about that? And then I want to come back to cooking.
Sure, of course, sure. So for portable air cleaners, AHAM has had a program where we independently test air cleaners for their reduction of various particulates. And that's through the CADR program, or CADR ratings is what we offer. And every product has a label, a CADR rating.
And what does that stand for?
It stands for the Clean Air Delivery Rate. It is a performance rating that we give for, you know, for products, you know, that where we test them for their reduction of tobacco smoke, dust, and pollen, which are three different size particles. So we're sort of looking at a small, a large, and a small, medium, and large particles in their reduction rates. What we've just done, because of COVID, we just released earlier this month a new standard, which was developed with public health officials, universities, researchers, health researchers, a new standard to for air cleaners to measure reduction of microbiologicals, so particles that simulate COVID, so that manufacturers can actually test and start to make claims related to you know, to COVID or other viruses.
And that's huge.
It's huge, honestly, Jamie. It's unbelievable work that we did in a very quick period of time. So it's great. I could say, yeah, I'd like to toot our horns, but it's more important for consumers because of the information and the misinformation that's out there. You know, you can find people that make all sorts of wild claims on the internet. It's really important that people understand that there are standards and there are, you know, measurement systems out there to be able to verify some of these claims.
Oh, I agree. Having that authority is really important. Coming back to cooking, what are some of the, I know that air frying has been huge for more than a year now, but I know that there are some new things like air sous vide and others. What are some of the wellness enhancing cooking modes and features that you're seeing trend?
So I think it was great that we've talked a bit about steam. I think that what's interesting is that we have, you know, things like steam, things like air frying, things like sous vide that are all available, you know, as standalone portable appliances but they're also now being built into, you know, major appliances. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really interesting that, you know, you may not know a lot about sous vide, and you may not want to go out and purchase, you know, a range that has sous vide built into it right away, but you can purchase sous vide and get comfortable with the technology, understand what it is, understand its benefits, how much you might be using it. And then, you know, you could use one as on a portable scale. And then, you know, say, okay, this is something I really like. Friends, I have a portable sous vide. I have no reservation about buying a range that has sous vide because I think it's great, even if it's for the, you know, 10 times a year that I use it. It's just so worthwhile when you're having a dinner party or a holiday to be able to get ahead of the game, use sous vide, and not have your food overcooked.
Right.
it's great for sort of for time management. And then I think with air frying, steaming, even starting to get into some of the IoT and, you know, in cooking and sort of being able to control different cycles or preheats on a phone, all of these things are, I think, helping us just to really dial in exactly what we like to do in the kitchen, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to really customize, the way that you plan as an individual and the way you cook.
Well, I agree, and I think the idea of starting with small appliances, particularly if you're not ready to do a major appliance replacement or redo, is a good way to try different things and see, you know, see what works for you. And then when you are ready to do the replacement and an appliance has that feature, you say, yes, I want that, and then I'm going to give the countertop model to my son and daughter-in-law, that kind of thing. So, Deborah, what features and amenities are you seeing from the large appliance manufacturers that make them easier to use for patients with disabilities?
Sure. And, you know, I'm going to piggyback a little bit on what Jewel was saying a bit earlier and even what Molly was saying earlier, because even though we all have our individual preferences and individual needs, I'm a firm believer that we have common needs and interests across generations. And looking at some of those needs from an appliance standpoint and from a cooking and kitchen standpoint, I think that some of those common needs and interests can be incorporated and have started to be incorporated into multiple designs for appliances. And, you know, for a long time, I've been seeing a lot of great features, and I've always been a fan of flexibility and adjustability. But some of the great things that I'm seeing now are even the dishwasher now that has a third rack located at the top for silverware and serving tools. I love that because mm-hmm. it puts that a little bit closer with less bending if you have it in a traditional location. And that's something that I would like to use, and it's something that would be easier for my mom at 83 who could also use.
It was a must-have for me on my dishwasher purchase, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm not yet ready to get another dishwasher, but when I do, when I saw that, I was like, I definitely want that in my next dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. And they're so much easier to find now, too.
Yes, and so much better. I'm so happy about that. I have always been a fan of, and please excuse, there might be some background noise from me, but I love a dishwasher drawer or a cold storage drawer or even a microwave drawer in the top mm-hmm. portion of a base cabinet. It's less reach, it allows for you to be able to access it easier and then not take up any other counter space. Well, I know that Molly was talking about mm-hmm. Side swing doors and even a French door for ovens with slide out racks. I'm always a fan of that for easier forward reach as long as you have somewhere to place it close by, preferably maybe a shelf that pulls out underneath. I am a fan of the LED lighting that they're putting in appliances now, specifically the dishwasher, to be able to see what's in there, especially in that bottom shelf if you're trying to find and locate items.
Or if something fell below the racks.
Yes, and that's it's huge. Definitely, I am a, you know, we all need more light as we age. What type of light, it could be very different, but we all need more light as we age, and if someone has an actual vision issue, having more light is always helpful in that regard as well. And then taking that a step further, I know we talked about being able to see the contents in your refrigerator. Absolutely, I'm in full agreement with that, not just from the standpoint of visually seeing what's in there, but also to make sure that things are not expired. But from a cognitive perspective, redundancy of alarms. And it's good to know from if you have a memory issue, but it's also you could be busy doing something else and you have an additional alarm that's either going off with the appliance or at a mobile device that's easy to access as well. Providing the same type of visual or cognitive safeguard with an alert saying it's hot after it's been done used. All of these features, I believe, are very helpful multi-generationally, but also for as we age and the changes that we go through, as well as for persons who might have physical or sensory or cognitive impairments.
All good points. I'm going to do a quick reset. If you just joined us after the beginning, you are listening to the twice monthly Wellness Wednesdays conversation. And we're talking today about wellness design and appliances with Jamie Gold and three wonderful guest moderators. I want to make a quick point to you, and then I'm going to turn to Molly. There's now a wine chiller in a drawer. So if you like drawer-based appliances, there's now wine cabinet that you could put into your drawer.
I saw that. That looks pretty cool, too.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Molly, when you have a client who has a physical limitation or challenge, how does it impact the conversations you have with them and how you specify the project? And let's start with that.
Okay.
I've got a follow-up on it.
Before I get to that subject with a client, I always bring to their attention the fact that it's important to make sure that the appliances they're considering are serviceable in their area, because not all appliances have adequate service in every geographic location. So without service, you can be dead in the water.
Good point. How often does that change, though?
Well, it depends. Like, if you're in a semi-rural area like we are, there's definite limitations. If you're in, Idaho, if you're in Alaska, there's a lot of areas of this country that, you just can't get service for certain manufacturers because the technicians aren't trained for those brands. So, we already talked about the side hinge oven. The ball bearing racks. That's a really good one to have, is even if you have the drop-down door. I think we talked about the remote controls, but also connectivity. Connectivity has benefits to both the homeowner as well as potentially their caretakers. So it can allow you to control the cooking in a more streamlined manner. I like to go with my clients to showrooms, appliance showrooms, because certain controls on appliances may be hard to use. So I want them to test drive them. I want, the knobs have to be easy enough for them to turn, because a lot of knobs you have to push down and then turn. And then there's also ones where you move your finger across the controls, and some people's dexterity makes it hard for them, or because they may have a tremor, that makes it hard for them to keep their finger in place to use that slide control. So it's just, little things like that. With built-in refrigeration, not so much with the freestanding, I like to see the compressor on the bottom of the fridge, because what it does is it lifts the content up. When you have the compressor at the top of the fridge, the produce bins tend to be very low and they have to bend to get to them, which isn't so much fun. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other. I'm not a big fan of microwaves, but if you're going to have a microwave, make it a drawer and make it and have soft close. Again, that limits the need for controlling the appliance for people with dexterity issues. I think when it comes to kitchen design overall, you just want to make sure that the layout, the features, the amenities fit the homeowner like a glove. However, it's even more important when your client has physical, cognitive, auditory, or visual limitations. Thinking about the height from the floor of the ovens, a lot of consumers don't realize that you can put the oven where you want. They don't know that. And when they find out, they're like, I can do that? Yes, we can do that.
Yeah. Can. You know, stacked ovens can be a challenge for some people, I imagine.
Yes, definitely, as well as stacked laundry. I mean, yeah. Everybody really wants that laundry sink, so they want to stack their laundry units, but then they realize they can't reach them. There is a unit on the market where the controls are in the middle.
Yes.
So the washer and the dryer are in one unit. I will tell you, having installed two of those already, they can be difficult to get into a house.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And one of the brands, I think it was the same one, LG, has, for if you have appliances side by side, your washer dryer set, you can now operate the dryer controls from the washer.
I haven't seen that.
So, you know, that is it's not a side by side. It's a stacked unit, but you can use the lower controls to operate the upper. It was just a KBIS, so I'm not sure if it's on the market yet, but it might solve the problem you're talking about where it's hard to get that tall unit into a home.
Yeah,
this is now
exactly.
Two separate units, but you know, anything that helps with that. You know, let me ask both you and Deborah, what do you folks think from an accessibility standpoint of the very popular French door refrigerators?
Deborah, why don't you go first?
Okay. I'm a fan of the French door refrigerators. I have a preference to side-by-side or French door refrigerators. I know that, but again, it's dependent on the person as well. So some of my clients, freezer on the bottom, some people like, but I find that for some, it's just still too, instead of going high, you're reaching too low.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why I have a tendency to like side-by-side and French refrigerators, because then you have things placed in that sort of middle section above the knee and below the shoulder level for easier access for some people who can't do either the high or the low reach, regardless of if it's because they're seated in a wheelchair or there's a balance issue or there is just a musculoskeletal issue that they can't do that reach or if they're short like me.
There's also a space consideration, which Molly could probably speak to. In my townhouse, the refrigerator is opposite an island, which is not that unusual a position. And so if I were in a wheelchair, I would have to look at it from the side because I wouldn't be able to fit the chair and open the freezer door in that same space. And I don't love the idea of that side use.
Right. Yeah. And so, again, the spatial relationships of where you place the appliances in the kitchen are huge. For all of them, dishwasher really, really big and refrigerator really big. All of them, really, but I agree with you, taking a side approach for some people is too difficult, and it may only allow them to take a side approach from one side, which may not be their strong side to do so.
Yeah. Molly, do you have any thoughts on the very popular French door fridge model configuration?
I'm also very fond of them, and we specify them both as freestanding and as built-in models. I like the fact that the door doesn't come all the way into the aisleway so that people can pass. A wheelchair can be navigated around the door without hitting the island or the next counter in a U-shaped kitchen. I think if you're going to drop a frozen pot roast on your foot and the other do it from the lower half of the fridge, then, you know, an upper shelf. One of the features that makes some French doors challenging is the fact that the doors have to be open approximately 135 degrees in order to get the crisper bins out or the deli tray. There is a model on the market, and I'm not sure if we're allowed to say brands in this program.
You could say brands, but if you have an affiliation, please mention that too.
Okay. So the brand is Beko, and yes, I do have an affiliation, but it's the only freestanding refrigerator on the market that I'm currently aware of where you only have to open the door 90 degrees to get the crisper bin out or the deli tray. And that is a game changer for those of us in the design industry because that means we could put the refrigerator next to a wall. We just have to space it off the wall for the handle, but it's huge.
That is huge.
So
definitely.
The other thing I like about the French doors is the flexibility because you can put the shelving aligned across for big platters or sheet cakes, or you can split them for more customized storage.
Yeah, there's some, I've seen a lot of innovation in how the interiors of refrigerators are arranged and also lit, to Deborah's point earlier, which kind of leads into my next question for Jill, is what features are you seeing and what types of refrigeration appliances are really trending in the way of supporting wellness? My question formation today is way the heck off, and I apologize for that.
No, that's okay. I think your questions are great, Jamie. I don't think your question formation is ever off.
No, I'm just having trouble articulating them today.
No, you're doing a great job. It's 4:40 on the East Coast, so no problem. But, I like the comments earlier that both Molly and Deborah were making also just about, about food freshness and that being, a concern, right? I mean, that's a concern for everyone. We also have inflation getting higher. So you have, the cost of food is, getting more. So you don't want it to spoil and you want to know what's in there. So I think that lighting was a really interesting comment. And that's something that, there have been, some improvements made to lighting. I think that, in addition to, outside of the appliance, knowing how to organize, and how to label things with, with dates, how to, use see-through containers, how to store and organize food within your fridge is also a huge, benefit in educational issue. And it's kind of interesting because food waste is such a huge issue in this country. So I agree with all the comments about lighting and looking for things with, with LED lights or better lighting. There are certainly refrigerators now that are marketed with, with air, not just temperature control, but air freshness controls and air filtration to keep food fresher longer. So
and that's huge too.
That is huge. Now, I mean, these things in terms of, I don't know that these would be, accessible. They're not certainly not on all products, across a value spectrum. But, these are interesting features that, people should be aware of that are available and out there. So there are some shelves that have been marketed using like an antimicrobial surface, which can help with keeping food fresher longer as well. So those things are all interesting in the refrigeration category too.
Well, thank you for that. Deborah, what are you seeing in the way of smart home technology that make appliances easier to use for people with disabilities? And I'm not even sure if disabilities is the proper term, but physical challenges.
Right. I work with people with illness, injury, and disability, and then I also work with people who are looking to age in place, so they may not have any specific illness, injury, or disability. But overall, the smart technologies I'm going to talk to you about that I like, I think are beneficial for all people, and but definitely for persons with illness, injury, or disability that may not be able to do things within their kitchen otherwise. And the one that I'm thinking of and I'm going to talk about first is voice control functionality. I love that. And now this is not for everyone, but I do love that there's more large appliances are offering voice control functionality within the appliance itself, as well as through smart hubs like Amazon Alexa or Google Home. And I have no affiliation, but I also love that you can pair it with smart appliances to set the oven to cook, their cook time, temperature, set your fridge temp, make grocery lists. And then I love that there is an appliance, a fridge from LG, no affiliation again, that you can open the fridge door hands-free. Just by saying open the refrigerator door. And they did this specifically for people who are bringing in their groceries and don't have their hands free. But I look at it as very universal because some of my clients that do have physical issues cannot open the door because there's just the suction is just too much that it requires many pounds pressure to be able to open the door. So for something that was not specifically meant for people that could have that physical issue, it could actually benefit them. But I do love, beyond the voice control functionality, I know that we were just talking about food waste and food spoilage. There's plenty of Wi-Fi capability features, but there is one now where they're combining Wi-Fi with internal cameras in the fridge that help keep an inventory of what you have in stock, send that alert to one of your mobile devices, send the ingredients that are about to go bad, and suggest recipes for you. But what's nice about that is it can also help somebody who has, I mean, that's convenient for me, mm-hmm. but it's also convenient for someone who might have a cognitive or a vision issue who may not otherwise be able to determine what's going bad in their refrigerator.
Well, I have to ask, though, do you have to key in all your expiration dates for it to work the way one of the early refrigerators required?
Yes, I do believe someone still would have to do that. And so the way I look at that is if it's somebody who does have a cognitive issue or a vision issue, they may have other things where they may have caregivers doing certain things for them. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I was having this conversation with a family who was interested in doing a full-scale remodel of the kitchen, and it's for their parent, but they're also looking at living multi-generationally, mm-hmm. And they also do set up all of her medication for her, too. So if they could set up her medication for her, and then they can also set her up to be able to still manage the food in her refrigerator, it could be the difference of her living longer independently before they have to all sort of move in together and make it a multi-generational family home.
That's a great point. And I should disclose, too, as Molly did, that I have done paid sponsorships in the past with three of the brands that I mentioned. Which is not why I mentioned them, but Bosch, LG, and SKS, Signature Kitchen Suite. So I will just throw that out there. And Molly, since you have been involved in at least one manufacturer design council, maybe more, what advice have you given or would you like to give to manufacturers to enhance the wellness potential of their appliances?
I was previously on the design council for Thermador. I was one of the first teams, and my mantra was induction, steam. I also was advocating for the 24 and 27 inch ovens because I found that a lot of our clients wanted a variety of appliances but didn't have enough room. So if we had smaller models, then they could have more features. There are other things. It's been a while, but I think what I would advise manufacturers at this time would be ditch the water dispenser inside the fridge. They're not easy to use, and there's other ways to get filtered water, okay? Touch controls. I would suggest that they have like three separate settings, light, medium, and heavy touch. Mm. This could also be a safety feature. So if it had set at a heavy touch, then children probably couldn't activate it. But it's hard for some people to like hold their finger steady. So having a light touch would not work very well. When it comes to controls on ranges and ovens, definitely ditch the back controls on the range. That's just, you know, a burn waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. But make the controls simple. Just, you know, the readout. There's one manufacturer who makes a phenomenal oven, but you have to like scroll.
It's crazy making.
It's like, I'm sorry, I just lost patience. I think having a kind of a tip out screen on the ovens, so a short where the screen would tip down for the short person, it would be level for the standard height person, and it would be tipped up for a tall person. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Kind of like an adjustable TV.
Exactly.
On the wall.
With ventilation, it would be tunable, and this has more to do with makeup air code requirements. So, you know, a lot of manufacturers, the minimum CFM that they offer is 600. Well, that doesn't meet the makeup air code. It's 400. So one manufacturer, in particular Zephyr, you can tune it on site, not just, you know, push, you know, buttons 1 and 2 for volume, but you can actually tune the motherboard at the time of installation. And that has been really helpful for those of us who are installing and specifying and designing. Burner configuration. This is a big bugaboo for me. A lot of manufacturers for many years were putting two large burners in the front of the cooktop or the range. Well, you can never get two large pots to fit next to each other like that. They have to be catty corner, or, you know, there has to be some distance. The other thing is, when you install a range or a cooktop on a wall and you have the two burners in the front, you can't see the pots in the back. So that's always been a big thing for me. I think offering more cooktops with controls on the front of the cabinet, you know, sort of like a range top, but not having that much BTU and so forth. Just having the knobs down below. And the reason is that it gives you more space on the cooking surface itself, and you're not as likely when reaching the knob or the slide control to touch a hot pot with your fingers. So those are just, I guess, a few of the things. Bridge elements. Absolutely. I love, love, love bridge elements of cooktops. It makes for so much flexibility.
And for those listening who don't know what a bridge element is.
It's when two burners are contiguous, usually back to front, and they can be used individually, or you can push a button and they come together at the same time. So you can put a griddle on it, or a Dutch oven, or a fish poacher, and get even heat because the size of the burners are identical. One last thing, it would be really nice if someone developed a dishwasher drawer that worked. It was easy to load and had a stainless steel tub, which up till now, there hasn't been one with a stainless steel tub, and the dishes are always wet.
That's an excellent idea. And again, Deborah and I are both fond of drawer-based appliances.
Yeah, I mean, I am too, but I just...
And maybe Jill is too. But
those are the things that come to mind for me.
All good inputs. Deborah, what would you say that you'd like to see from manufacturers to make appliances more user-friendly and accessible and wellness-enhancing?
Sure. And Molly, I loved your list. Thank you so much. I love listening to your perspective on this question. One of my thoughts was that I feel that manufacturers need to be innovative with how they balance the needs of consumers. Some consumers want every possible option for appliances, washer, dryer, dishwasher, cycle, oven, many, and you were talking about scrolling through all the oven cooking modes, while other consumers might want simple and intuitive choices. I was just having this conversation with my mother, who now needs to replace a few of her appliances in her home. And to me, having the ability to set up your appliance to provide sort of the entire menu of options versus a basic menu of options or just a customizable menu of options that you could possibly have on a touchscreen model, based on frequent use or preference, that to me would meet the needs of a large spectrum of users. And then you wouldn't have to scroll through all. You just scroll through the ones that you've chosen to be in there.
It's kind of like the iPhoneization.
Yes.
Where you can customize what you see on your control panel for your own comfort. If things are too cluttered, that makes some people crazy. If they're too sparse, it makes other people crazy. So that's brilliant.
Yes. I mean, and you have the apps that work for you on your phone. You have the cooking modes that work for you in your oven. And then, oh, wait, I want to try this cooking mode. And then you add it in when you decide you want to add it in.
So yeah, that's great.
I think that provides a nice level of flexibility. And then it would still meet that, you know, needs from a multi-generational standpoint, too. I also think that manufacturers could consider balancing sort of the new design trends with usability. And I know we were talking about refrigerators earlier, and some of the ones I was talking about, some of them come with recessed refrigerator door handles. And I know that that's sort of a trend where you're seeing less door handles. And I sort of cringed when I first saw that because my first thought was like, oh my goodness, people who have issues with hand function, even arthritis, might have difficulty opening that door, even though I love the look of it because it's very sleek and modern looking. And so to me, it was not so much don't manufacture this refrigerator, but make the refrigerators with the recess handles, but also consider How you can add the option in, possible the option, because that LG refrigerator where you can say open the refrigerator door has recessed handles, make sure that it does have another way to be able to open the door, whether it be by sensor or voice, so that you still are meeting the needs of the of the spectrum of people who use it. And I liken this very similarly to kitchen faucets, where you can have a kitchen faucet and just use it normally, or you can have a kitchen faucet that's a touch or proximity faucet, and that's an option that you don't necessarily have to choose, but you can.
Right, or so voice control.
Exactly. And
voice models too.
Yes.
I think that the pandemic has probably hastened all these trends. I think that we're with voice control and sensors too. You know, to open the refrigerator door. I think those are all, you know, people sort of got that touchless was, you know, something that really would benefit them. There was kind of a practical application for it other than just this is really cool. I think also people with, you know, it's so practical, right, that we would have a sensor to open the refrigerator door, because most of the time, you know, you're balancing a casserole pan or a leftover lasagna on one hand and trying to open the refrigerator door. So I think that those functions just make a whole lot of sense for so many reasons. And now I think there's a much quicker jump in the consumer's mind of why they might, you know, value that type of function.
Right. And that brings me to the question I was going to ask you, is the trends that you're seeing from your association members that are kind of industry-wide on wellness, and that's, you know, touch is one, voice control is another. What are some of the trends that you're seeing or that we will be seeing shortly?
Yeah, I think, thinking of appliances as, a component to a home's health and wellness is kind of a trend. Just generally speaking, we used to talk about the benefits of appliances being time saving and convenience, convenience items, and those things are true without a doubt. But I think that, you know, the past couple of years we've seen that, you know, your appliances also mean, you know, safety, wellness, cleanliness is not just an aesthetic. It means that you are healthy, that you can stay healthier. So, we've seen, lots of interest in, sanitization cycles. Those features are not new, on a dishwasher or clothes washer, but they are features that have been, rediscovered. Mm-hmm. They've been buttons and words on machines that people haven't really read closely. What does that NSF label mean? What does sanitization mean? People now understand what that means, and they're using those functions more. So I think, it will be interesting to see how the next, maybe 5 years plays out. But, the pandemic hasn't been quick. It hasn't been 6 months and done. There's lingering effects, and I think that it will play into, how we feel about our homes. Work from home, I don't know that we've talked about that a lot yet, but, people are working from home, still mm-hmm. staying at home a lot more. So there's a whole new way, we interact with our kitchens. It's not just, how quickly can I get dinner on the table? It's now, how can we cook 3 meals a day? How can I turn my home into the restaurant since we're not going out and dining? How can I do a little more in the kitchen? How can I, create, snack stations for my kids mm-hmm. or have secondary kitchens or whole entire, beverage centers that are not just about, wine and beer, but I think people maybe did enough of that. So now we're resorting to, how can I have a whole setup for different kinds of beverages, interesting waters or teas or coffees mm-hmm. or matchas? So I think all of those things are in play too. And just this idea of creating, your home as really, the center of health, wellness, stability, safety, security. I think that's a trend. So looking at appliances through that lens, and what features can manufacturers drive to help create those feelings of safety and comfort, of nourishment, of health. These are all going to be continuing trends that we'll see. And I think it's been interesting how quickly I think this shift has happened.
Yeah, and that's
sticking around for a long time.
Oh, I agree. And that's a great note to end on. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. My name again is Jamie Gold. My website is jamiegold.net. You can reach my guest moderators through their profiles. My next Wellness Wednesday will be on creating spa bathrooms on May 4th. If you're not already a member of Wellness Wednesdays, please click so you can join and get notice of upcoming events. And thank you so much, Molly and Deborah and Jill, for participating today. It's been a delightful conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much, too.